Welcome to another episode of Modern Practice. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva, practicing internist and associate vice president for clinical resources at Vizient. Today, Dr. Christopher Kim from the University of Washington returns with an update of what his team is doing to battle COVID-19. He discusses their latest approaches with my colleague, Lindsay Mayer, senior director of Vizient's collaborative program. Let's join in on the discussion.
Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Vizient COVID-19 webinar series. My name is Lindsay Mayer, senior director in our collaboratives program, and I'll be your host for today's webinar again, Evolving Practices at Epicenter Organizations. Dr. Christopher Kim is the associate medical director for quality, patient safety, and clinical efficiency. And Dr. Kim joined us a few weeks ago on one of our weekly webinars. So Dr. Kim, welcome back, and the floor is now yours.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me back. It's my pleasure to share with you just some of the work that we've been doing out here in Seattle, Washington. What I wanted to kind of speak to you about is some of the work that were done previously. And the last time that I spoke, we talked about how things changed on January 21 when the first case was confirmed here nearby Snohomish County. And then on February 29th, when there was the first death in one of our community hospitals just across the lake, and then news of the outbreak in a long-term care facility, and things really snowballed after there. I highlighted some things related to incident command centers at the system and entity-based levels. We have established protocols and guidelines, and there's a resource website that I would encourage all of you to go to as these get updated on a regular basis. Talked a bit about PPE. We're very fortunate to have a site-based test available. Dr. Hewlett mentioned that the lack of testing has really been challenging across the country, and having a local site test has been able to give us the ability to react and respond at a much quicker pace. Currently, we're actually able to do about 3,000 tests a day. And we're actually serving as a public health resource where more than 80% of the tests are coming from outside of our organization. I talked a little bit about testing at different sites and clinics, urgent care, ED, and even establishing drive-through testing clinics. I talked about our visitation restrictions, our communications and partnerships with adult family homes, long-term care facilities. Talked about data and analytics support and for the well-being of our community, and then planning for increased activity. I just wanted to sort of review these things because if you have any questions about any of these, I'm happy to answer these at the Q&A session. Just to kind of fast forward a little bit to today, as of March 24th, Seattle King County has reported about 1,280 positive cases with 94 deaths. And our hearts really do go out to our colleagues in New York, where they've seen a huge surge in this over the past week. And I anticipate that other areas around the country will also see a spike in cases. At our system, which is really comprised of four hospitals, UW Medical Center in Montlake, which is our university campus, the Northwest Campus, a community hospital, Harborview Medical Center, which is our trauma and safety net hospital, and Valley Medical Center, another community hospital just south of us, we've taken care of over 100 patients in the hospital and have had several patients, unfortunately, pass away. I think that the information that Vizient has put out really laying the state of the landscape and getting a sense for everybody is going to be really helpful. So fast forward to today, and as others have mentioned, we've definitely postponed all of our elective and non-urgent surgeries and procedures, which has created some capacity to care for these patients that are coming into the hospital. And as I said, we've taken care of more than 100, and every day this number seems to be increasing at a faster rate. We've made changes to our clinic appointment process, really expanding our telehealth and canceling and rescheduling routine and non-urgent clinic visits, even for our specialty patient population. I think just like many of you that take care of high-risk patient populations, we've needed to make some special accommodations for bone marrow transplant patients, oncology patients, solid organ transplant patients, and pregnant patients. We've created special units where these patients can be placed if they have COVID positive, but if they're otherwise COVID negative, and again, having that ability to have a local site-based testing with the turnaround time really in 8 to 12 hours has been helpful for us to really figure out where these patients should go. We've created special protocols for solid organ transplant and BMT oncology patients. Even though those volumes have gone down to the best extent possible, we obviously still need to be a center that provides care for these patients. Just to highlight one thing, all our solid organ transplant patients are getting tested pre-recipient. So if they're a potential candidate, then they get tested because we want to ensure that they're negative. And then all of our donors are actually being tested through our organ procurement network here in the area. I think the other thing really is to highlight is Frank's presentation about supporting our UW Medicine community, childcare support, coming up with really creative ideas to ensure that there's childcare for our colleagues, creating a network of colleagues throughout the system that can be there for each other. We created sort of like a Craigslist type of a site where people could volunteer and offer up their services really for anything that our colleagues may need. Work commute, parking is certainly a challenge here and being in a big city, and I'm sure it is at your organizations as well, and opening up free parking for those staff that need to come in has been tremendously helpful. We've also instituted weekly web-based town halls where people can call in and ask their questions ahead of time to our system leaders. We also provide regular updates. PPE is definitely a high priority. I would encourage everyone out there to have a strong strategy around PPE, from things like how do you secure these? How do you distribute these? How do you have the requests come in, and what should be the distribution process? What's your dashboard look like? How do you know how much you have at any given time, and how long would that last you? What is your conservation and preservation strategy and reuse strategy? And how do you enforce that in a very strong manner? Because I think that people really are hearing a lot of things out there, whether it's in the news or social media or just from their colleagues around the country. And it's really important to have a united, strong stance and a policy around this as an organization, whatever you commit to. And the last thing I'll just comment on is thinking ahead. As I said, we've seen the number of patients coming into the hospital with COVID positive increasing any given day. We have one of our hospitals taking care of 30 plus patients. And just a week ago, it was in the low double digit. And so it's really increasing. And you see what's happened in New York. And I think we all need to be wary and mindful of what does our projection look like in our region. And there's some various projection models that are out there. I think Penn has one called CHIME. There's one here through the University of Washington, through the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. And I believe they're going to also make their report public in the coming days. And I encourage you to take a look at that, because you need to start planning for the surge that's about to come in the coming weeks. And as you do that, you need to think about where's your surge space? How will you get beds there? What supplies and equipment will you need to get there? Will you be able to provide critical care services out of your ICU setting? And who's going to do that? And so we've been working on our staff surge planning that involves really our bedside staff, including nursing, RT, and non-clinical staff such as EVS and food and nutrition, of course, and anybody else that really needs to be involved in the management of the patient. We're working on our medical staff structure. We believe that there's four areas that will need to be addressed in these times of surge. One is in the emergency department. One is in the critical care space. One is in the general acute med-surg space, really where patients will come in with medical illness, not to the extent of critical care. And then fourth is a little bit of an offshoot of the ED, to assist the ED to have a side urgent care type of setting to offload those cases that come to the hospital that don't really require the attention of the emergency medical providers. And trying to create a medical staff planning model that really involves all of our medical staff, not just those specialists, but all of our medical staff across all of our departments. And we also are working with the GME community to ensure that there's a appropriately allocated workforce following the GME regulations and requirements that we still need to follow. But that kind of partnership and planning is really critical. And with that, I'll just stop there, and I'm happy to answer any questions during the Q&A session.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Kim. I really appreciate that. We have a lot of questions. Let's get to a few of these. Has anyone followed New York City hospitals in restricting OB patient partners from delivery?
At the University of Washington, we've not gone to that extent yet, but it is being discussed. But right now, our visitor policy for OB patients is that they can have their partner as well as one trained laborer assistant. And so that's our policy at this point.
Okay. Dr. Kim, one other question. What about a patient waiting for a transplant? Are you doing telemedicine for patients for their yearly visit or making them come to the transplant center for a live visit?
Whenever possible, our transplant providers look through their list and alter the visit to telemedicine if possible. If they feel that the patient needs to be seen, we try to minimize patients' exposure to just the general healthcare setting. And so we try to bring them through a special room where they can get roomed and have their blood drawn and have a visit. But that's what we've tried to do. And then anybody who's a candidate for to be receiving an organ, they have to have a negative COVID test. And if they test positive, we've created algorithms where there's an opportunity for them to be retested after 7 days or 72 hours asymptomatic, whichever is greater. So those are some of the protocols that we've established.
Okay, great. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing our expertise. Thank you to the audience also. I really hope everyone, please stay safe out there, and I hope you have a great day.
My thanks to Dr. Kim for this look at what they're doing at UW to fight COVID-19. Please join us for another episode of Modern Practice on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.